The ultimate gospel experience.
17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the theheirchurch.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
Chapter 4, Abraham 4, it's like there's so much in this, because this was before the law was given. Are you with me? Abraham said, what shall we say then that our father, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? What did Abraham found? The flesh. For if Abraham were justified by works, underline that word justified, if he were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Amen. See, now, underline where it says, what saith the scripture? That's what I'm saying to you, the same thing. Go to what the Bible says. Don't try to analyze what you think God will do. Loving God. I just don't believe it. Just, you know, it wouldn't be all this much trouble. Shut up. What does the scripture say? The answer is not in what you figure. You done analyzed the world and looked at it and looked at TV and read one book. You think you done figured it out. Go to the scriptures on the subject. So the word says, for what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worked, Abraham did what? He believed God. You can't believe God apart from his word. That's why the enemy will fight you on his word. He keep you away from the word. He got you. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. There it is, Pastor Gunn, the grace, unmerited favor, but of debt. Amen. Now, what this tells you, under no circumstances will you be able to say you earned it. It's a debt. There's nothing. When you come to God, we've earned nothing. It's by grace. Through faith. Say that when we say, by grace, through faith. It's always there. By grace, through faith. In other words, that means it's favor. It's unmerited favor. We did not earn it. It's unearned. If you could earn it, it'd be hard to do, but you had to be perfect. No man could do it. That's why Jesus walked out perfection for us. But the word says, now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. He justified the ungodly. Guess who the ungodly is? Us. We are justified. We are the ungodly. We are justified. We're justified through believing, through faith. You're saved through your believing. Well, you know, I don't do like what I used to do. I don't do that no more. It don't make no difference. If you don't know Jesus, you're still a sinner. You're dead in trespasses and sin. It's good that you stop doing it, but that won't get you in. That's not enough. Amen. So it's by grace through faith. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Okay? All right, now. Okay, let's go. I'm going to skip down for the sake of time. For it says, go down, verse 13, it says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. This has got to be the law of faith. Faith is made void. And the promise made of none effect. Underline that word promise. When you look at the promises of God, they're conditional. They're based on faith. Amen. You receive them by faith. Because the Lord, then it says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. Then it says, because the law worketh wrath, excuse me, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Are you following me? It's your believing. It's your believing. Your war is going to be a believing war. It's going to be a faith war. Are you with me? And so this is where you go to healing. When you come to healing, there's so much is at stake. When you come to healing, divine healing, and anything that faith produces, there's a pattern of like warfare that you have to deal with, because it's all predicated on your believing it. See, the power is in God's word, but you have to believe it. The power is in God's word. The power to save, heal, and deliver, it's in the word, but you have to believe it. And the fight you will have is a believing fight. Words say fight the good fight of faith. It didn't tell you to fight the devil. The devil has been defeated. It said fight the good fight of faith. In other words, hold fast to what you believe. If you hold it fast, act like you believe it. Act like it's true. All right, so scripturally, and then here it goes, it says, as it is written, verse 17, are you there? I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, before him whom he what, believed. Underline believed in there again. Underline that word believed. Remember I said it's a believing area. It's a faith fight. The devil don't care what you do as long as you stay away from this Bible. He'll let you have the best church you can have as long as you stay away from this word of God. That's right. You have a parade, do anything you want, just stay away from this Bible. You get to this word of God, it's on then. So you have to be looking for a fight. When you get in the word of God, just strap up your fighting stuff and get ready, because the enemy's coming for that word. He knows the potential of it. He knows what you have if you don't know what you have. That's why I said get it off that coffee table and in your heart. God didn't call you to chase the world. He called you to believe the word and speak forth his word. Amen. He's given you authority. He's given you a name above every name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the word says, this is about Abraham, and I'm going from there. We're doing good. Who against hope believed in hope. Oh, wait a minute. It said, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Calleth those things that what? Be not as though they were. Now, here's something. We've read this scripture a lot of times, but here's a word I want you to make note of that you probably don't have it underlined in your Bible. Underline the word call it. Call it. Call it. C-A-L-L-E-T. Underline call it. That's where your victory is. Lord have mercy. Call it. In your Bible, it's not underlined, is it? You've read it, but the other stuff underlined, but you don't have call it underlined. That's where the power is. That's where the power is. Because, see, this is good enough to stop on. You have faith in God, amen? You get the word, you acquire the word, you have possession of the word, right? You have the word of God in you, the word that you know, the word that you read from the Bible, it's in you. But the power of God is not released unless you confess it. You got to act on it and you got to speak it. This is where it is. He said, and call it those things which be not as though they were. That means you gotta say something. It's telling you to say something. Well, I don't feel saved. That's not what you said. You say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, no matter what I feel like. No matter what my flesh talking about and trying to do. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You gotta keep saying it. And what he said to Abraham, this is the way God operates. The word says, and call it those things which be not as though they were. As though they were. As though they were. That means they not were. They not were yet. But call them as though they were. What? In other words, call it what you want it to be in the finished state, in the finished manifested form. Call it what it looks like. It's in you. The finished product is in you. Call it that. Call it that as though it's already happened, like it's already done. Because that's how God operates. Call it those things. See, now this is the part, says, this is how you get there from where you are. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. It don't matter what's going on in your life. What you want to look at is what you want to go on in your life. What do you want to be going on in your life? Amen. And the word of God has, you want peace of God, don't you? You want joy unspeakable. You want abundance and no lack. You want healing from the top of your head. Is that what you want? Then call that. Call everything about you. Call it that. Just look at it and call it that. So why don't Holly feel? If I don't feel like that. Don't call it what you feel. Call it what you want it to be. This is Abraham. This is in the New Testament in the Romans, but it came from Genesis. This is the very foundation of faith right here. This is Genesis. You call those things that be not as though they were. And it's a transformation to do that, because everything about you say, well, come on, Pastor, let's be real. We need to be real. No, you don't. Real is what got you in your situation. That's carnally real. You don't want to be real. You want to be spiritual. You want what God calls it to come to pass and change your current state of existence real. You keep being real. You keep calling it what it looked like. It cannot change. It has to stay that way because you keep calling it that. That's why. How many of you had a situation where the devil went out of his way to show you something bad? Look at this. Look at this. Did you see this? Look at this right here. Here's somebody else. Did you see that? Yeah, pretty bad. We want everybody to call it that. Oh, man. We're not going to be able to make it unless with that. Who going to call it what you want to be? Who going to call those things to be not through the word? That's, you have to look at it and say, that's not what I want. And call it what you want. Amen. That's the life of the believer. That's what Abraham did. God told, he approached God. Let me get away from this. He approached God. He said, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless. I don't have any kids. God said, look at the stars in the sky. Give him an example. He said, those are your kids. That's how many children you're going to have. Hallelujah. So he had to take his picture of what his current situation was. And see, well, how is that going to happen? Look at your neighbor and say, how is that going to happen? That's God's part. You don't have to know that part. You don't have to know how God's going to triple your income. You just have to call it that. You just have to look at your checkbook and your check. It'd be better to take a check, look at it, and call it three times bigger than what it is. I call a check. The devil said, this sounds so stupid. Look at that. No, it ain't stupid. It's faith in God. You got a hold of it. What do you think? The devil going to rubber stamp your faith? You're doing real good. You know, you're really getting the word there in church, you know. I just noticed how you're changing your confession. No, he's not going to do that. Let's go. So anyway, somebody say divine healing. All right, anyway, the word says Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was yet 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, Sarah was dealing with, what do you call that? Barrenness. Sarah was barren. Amen. All right. Then he staggered. The word says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in what? Strong in what? Giving glory to God. And being what? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, God had promised, he was well able to perform. God was well. If you're getting it from God, he can bring it to pass. Stop trying to figure out how it's going to happen. God, if he promised it, he's well able to bring it to pass, no matter what your situation is like. Divine healing. I don't care what the doctor said. What? You mean what? You don't care what the doctor say? Right. You got to learn how to believe God's word over the doctor, over everybody. God's word is true. And I want to tell you this now. Go to the doctor, find out what they say going on. You need to get diagnosed, find out, hey, what you see, doc? The doctor tells you, okay, I take it from here. And you begin to, you know, even if you have to have treatment, you get in your faith because you know where you are in faith. Are you following me? But I'm going to give you these points on divine healing. Those who listen on radio or Facebook, you've got to know how divine healing works. Saints, you've got to get this. People in over 50% of the world have no hospitals or doctors they can go to. But missionaries take the word of God. The evangelists, they minister in great crusades and heal people in the thousands that don't have penicillin and all kind of medical stuff. No clinics or nothing. They should have those things. But in the meantime, God has thought about man. Amen? All right, so number one, I'll give you seven practical things to do when you're standing for your healing. Now, many of you will minister this to other people when you're standing for healing, but you need to know that healing is the will of God. It's in the atonement. It's God's will to heal. Now, what does healing mean? Healing means sick and get well. Sick and get well. Divine health is well and getting even better. A lot of you're not sick, but you can be stronger. You can be better. Use your faith. Use your faith for it. The Holy Ghost will guide you. He'll have you doing things that will make your health better. Amen. Well, you know, I'm just older. I'm just feeling better. Hush. There's nothing to worry about. You feeling bad because you're older. Give me a scripture and verse. Caleb said, I'm 85 and I'm well able to take this mountain. Come on, somebody. You got to have some confession. Or the television will bury you early. The world will send you out quick. It'll have you. Oh, it's all kind of commercial. They got the pictures. You look at the pictures. Amen. I'm falling and can't get up. It's all kind of stuff. They're programming you. Are you with me? Look at your neighbor and say, I don't fall. Then look at your neighbor and say, no more. Yeah, you'll think that's supposed to happen. You'll be waiting. You'll be waiting on your time to start falling. Can you say amen? See, it's shaky. No, don't do that. Number one, you must decide not to fear. You must decide not to fear. You must make a decision to not be afraid. There are people that go to work and then they say, well, you need to go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. The doctor tell you something that you never heard a doctor say before. So we don't even have a name for it. We don't even know what it is we got. But we found it and said, well, you only have a certain amount of time to live. How long do I have to live? Probably about 5 minutes. I don't know. 5 minutes? They say, yeah, they tell you anything. Look at his neighbor and say, do not be afraid. Fear is your enemy. Amen. They'll tell you. They'll say, we don't know. It's just a day to day, a week to week. Can you imagine a doctor telling you, a surgeon says, it's going to be week to week, week to week. You could die any week. I could die any week. Yeah, we just never know. You just stay close with us. Call us every day. You better know what to pray. That's from the pit of hell. I'm not no week to week. Amen. A long life with God satisfies me. So, but what that does is you don't want to be afraid. And doctors mean well based on what they know. But you must purpose. You must, and the way to not be afraid, you've got to have faith. Yeah, faith in God's healing power. Amen. So decide not to fear. Number two, decide, do not become frustrated. Don't get frustrated. See, because if you're dealing with some healing, certain things you used to do, or maybe discomfort, don't get frustrated. That's a state of mind. It'll work against your faith. You become impatient, mad at other people, cantankerous, hard to get along. Don't get frustrated. You gotta maintain, you must protect your faith now. You gotta walk in love. That's why you need to learn how to walk in love now. So when you go through things and you need to protect your faith, you're not having to learn the love walk. You already know how to walk in peace with people who don't understand, who is insensitive, and don't you know I'm going through my trial right now? Y'all just making that noise. Yeah, you know, that's reality, but you just don't get frustrated. You protecting your faith now. You've got to do this. You can't afford it. You can't afford that stuff that you used to be doing in terms of your attitude with people when you are walking in divine healing, and you're walking on to get divine healing, to receive your healing. You've got to cut that out. Well, if it's somebody that does that to you, get them from around you. You need to cut your contact with them if they frustrate you. Number three, you do not become desperate. Don't become desperate. Just trust God. Don't become desperate. Just trust God. Just stay in faith. Stay and do what the Word of God says. Confess the Word of God. You got to have the peace of God. Now you need to know this now, so that when you go through it, you already know to have this. Are you with me? That's number three. Do not become desperate. Number four, do not lose confidence. Where it says, cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward.
I just don't know how this is going to turn out. This is a hush.
It's going to turn out fine. You know, that John Osteen, his wife, Dodie, they told us, said, last person we know had this guy since they died. The doctor tell you that. Well, she's still alive, and she had some kind of disease or whatever. Her son said, nobody with this mom have ever lived that passed a certain time period. She's still living. That was some years ago. And so they went, but see, they ministered faith, and he wasn't always a man of God to minister the full faith message. So a lot of what you're getting in the Word of God, understand the Word of God, this isn't to sermonize you. This is for real stuff. Are you with me? This is for down here where the devil and the demons at and all kind of other things come. Are you with me? So it has to do with renewing your mind. All right, do not lose confidence. Keep listening to God's word on healing. Keep listening to God's word on healing. You're in the hospital, you better cut that TV off. At least you got a healing ministry on there. They have it already set up for you. You need to hear the word of God. Get your healing tape, the power of the word of God. Amen. Keep listening to God's word on healing. Nowadays, like I'm teaching on healing, I don't know how often churches or preachers minister on healing. I don't know. It's kind of like, well, I don't know if you hear me by Facebook, you go to church, but ask your pastor, do he believe in divine healing? Or do he think that went out with the last apostles? The last apostle died. Amen. Yeah. Well, you know, people, they say so-and-so. Are they sick? No, they ain't not sick. They were, oh, so okay. I keep listening to them. You better get a hold of the word of God. Amen. I was healed from asthma as a boy. Amen. Praise God. I don't ever remember leaving the doctor's office and say, okay, you healed now. I went to that tent meeting and got prayed for. Can you say amen? Amen. It wasn't my idea either. I think my mom was desperate. Amen. I wasn't desperate. I didn't know where I was. I was just, you know, I was about 11 or something like that. I went to church, but they didn't do no healing where I went to church. Amen. I'd have had to suffer staying there. Nice people will escort you into a grave and talk you out of your life. Amen. Listen to their theology. When they're not losing an ounce of sleep, you sick and you going through pain, you're the hold of somebody who believe God will heal you. Amen. And so, you know, I don't mean no harm. I don't mean no harm, but you got to be realistic and understand this. When people don't have your answer, they'll make up stuff for you. Preachers will do it. They'll give you some scriptures that don't have nothing to do with what you're going through. Yeah. Well. It ain't funny if you the one the doctors that gave all them diagnoses to. Are you with me? Well, the Lord. Somebody's like, it's something the Lord know that don't nobody else know, that he keeping to himself, and he's not going to let nobody else know, you know, as to why he killing you. That's how it come out. Pastor, are you saying that? Are you saying, hold on a minute. Are you saying, no, beloved, that's not what I'm saying. I'm letting the Lord in his, I'm saying the Lord in his omnipotence. You know, he can make up his mind tomorrow, the day. And you don't know what's going on. You got your faith on that. Your faith out on that. Yeah. And you the one with the diagnosis. Everybody else, they're going to go to Longhorn and eat steak. You the one there. You better recognize. Well, Reverend wouldn't tell me wrong, would he? Yes, he would. Especially if he doesn't know. It takes a lot of character to say, I don't really know. And people won't say it. They won't tell you when they don't know. And if they don't know, don't pray. I don't know prayer either. Well, Lord, if you see this dear brother, if you see him, everything is, if it be the Lord, you know, if prayer venture in your omnipotent will. What? Hold it, Reverend. And so it sounds good because he's in the right voice and everything. Well, yeah, quiet everybody. Yeah, well. That's why Jesus put them people out. When he went with Jairus' daughter, to pray for his daughter. He put the people out. He said, y'all get out of here. She was asleep. He said, she already dead. You late, Jesus. Jesus called her. She sat up. She was alive. But he put them out. You got to get the unbelievers out. Amen. Let me wrap this up. All right, so number six is you must act like the word is so. Act like the word is so. Act like the word is true. It is true. It's true for you. You must embrace the truth and be consistent with it. Act like it's true. Your actions ought to indicate that what you prayed is what you believe. Now, this is fundamental. This is fundamental stuff with healing. And, you know, really like being in church, this is good to be in church here right now and everything is good. But let me tell you, when people sick, when church be over, they still sick. Yeah, it's more serious to them. If you well and you good and you are, God bless you. That's good. But for people who sick and in pain, when the church service over, they still in pain. They need to get the goods. So they need to be in an environment where someone is laboring for them to get the revelation of healing, where they can tap in with their faith and develop the faith to receive their healing. God's called people to do that. Why wouldn't I do that? I'm a beneficiary of it. Amen. I'll never forget being in my little bedroom there, couldn't breathe, and the nurse sticking needles in my arm so I could breathe. Why me? I'm like, why me? I didn't know my theology wasn't that good. Are you with me? You know, at the hospital in the middle of the night. People who go through that, there's people going through that regular right now, all kinds of stuff like that. Or they'll hear, they want to hear divine healing. Amen. But people who well, I don't know about all that. You don't have to know. You are all well and everything. So these scriptures, decide not to fear. Do not become frustrated. Do not become desperate. Do not lose confidence. And keep listening to God's word on healing. And act like the word is so. Can you say amen? Give the Lord a shout of praise. Don't stop right there. I'm out of time. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m., or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org That's theheirchurch.org.